Yes, Dev, hello. How are you? How are you, room? I guess you can hear me well. I'm still checking, you know. Yes, very good, very good. 4 years of asking the same question. Always get the same answer, so I guess something is working. Bonjour, bonjour tout le monde, bonsoir tout le monde. I'm happy to hear that Armel will be sharing in an hour. I'll be great. I'll be great. I'll be very, very nice. I'm gonna have some French stuff happening tonight because she's from Belgium. Okay, it's very nice to be here. Here's a link. Okay, that's the link to my website, but that Dove just paste. But that's the link to today's message. Hello, Steve. Long time no see. Okay, that's the link. You see that page 130? It's the link to the message we're going to be looking at tonight, following Holy Spirit guides and subbing for Regina. Now, not subbing out of the blue, subbing because we are actually sharing that series of message that Regina and I received when I was joined with her in partnership. In 2007 and going to and 2008, but these messages are 2007. I think I don't have the date, but it's okay. You know, sometimes in November, because I guess at that time I was not back to like I didn't leave and let go of my French beautiful apartment at the time to go join Regina. I was just coming back from the first 6 weeks, which were very high in colors. That's the least we can say. And then we continue to have all these wonderful messages. And it's been a few weeks you're familiar with the guidance of the willing for awareness, the continuing letting go, and that beautiful ascension to the higher realm of our consciousness. Okay, so we'll continue today with this message that is called enjoyment and appreciation. Again, let me paste the link once again. And before we do this, I'd like to welcome you to a prayer. Stepping into my heart, into the inner chamber of my heart, where my true desire is like an open fire, right? I heard earlier Cheryl talk about true desire. Well, definitely talk about true desire. And anyway, for the meantime, the Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the teachings. Thank you for NTI. Thank you for these messages. But thank you for every day's guidance. Thank you for the reminders that are so important. Thank you for the reminder that everything comes on the wings of the purpose I gave it, so that I can be grateful for everything. Thank you for the reminder that I create everything. And everything that I perceive comes from me, comes from my wanting. Thank you for this. Thank you for the reminder that I'm not victim, that I'm the creator. But tonight, I want to give my appreciation, my awe, to a link, to the link, to the simple and immediate link to my true desire, and that is my willingness. Same thing for all my friends here in the room. I want to express my gratitude for our willingness, that simple and immediate way to not knowing and to let you lead in a conscious way our car, our bus, our way to full remembrance of who we are. And Holy Spirit, I'm truly grateful for the simple, small, but very present willingness to put you in charge of my life. With this in mind, I'm willing to let you lead this following hour, so that all of us, through our willingness to listen to the truth or to speak the truth, to let the truth be known, like to let our love be known, well, be the love that we are. Amen. Indeed, my friends, this willingness business is out of this world, which is actually the case. But it's so simple, right? Isn't it simple to be willing? It's very simple. It's very, very simple. Let me give you the link again to today's message. I'm just being struck more and more by the simplicity and the immediacy of willingness. Right? We are all willing to let the world go. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how to get there. We don't know how to do this and do that and let go and all of this. But we are willing, aren't we? Right. Now, when you say yes, because I know you're all willing to let go totally of the world and of personality, right? And of the I thought. If Holy Spirit comes to me and say, are you willing to let go of the personality? I say, yes. Okay, that's all I ask for you. It's this yes. We are all willing. So we all say yes. Now, this yes is an invitation to the source of this yes, which is just a, don't even go very far. It's a vibration. Drop from the concept of the willingness to what it feels like. And what it feels like, we are really in touch with the true desire of our heart. And that is something that we don't want to lose track of, to lose sight of, is the true desire of our heart. That's really what's going to make this path easy instead of difficult. Before speaking about this message, remember the words of Spirit in NTI that says that on this path with me, you will know only two experiences: willingness and resistance. Okay, so I'll just let you with this. I'm having a last sip of green tea, so that I can stay up in the wee hours with you guys. And let us start. Okay, here's the link once again, because I think Barbara just popped in the room. Hello. That message is called Enjoyment and Appreciation. And the Holy Spirit speaks automatically. There was no question this morning, the morning that this message came. Okay. Holy Spirit says, well, let's talk about the personality now. Some of you are getting the idea that it is wrong to see yourself as the personality. It isn't wrong in that you are guilty if you see yourself in this way. It is just an error in that it isn't true. And that, this is very subtle, But that will be the measuring stick, again, to quote words from NTI, and especially Revelation, at the end of NTI, where you will know you either have chosen resistance or you have chosen true desire, meaning willingness. Willingness is really the link, the direct link, the direct extension from true desire. And it's been a few messages now that, the last one was called Walking Through Walls, Walls of Fears and stuff like this. And the Holy Spirit here is really guiding us to let go of the key attachment that is the world. And the key attachment that is the world is the personality. This is way before the messages from Inner Ramana. But this is exactly the same with just a slightly different language. The personality is the I thought. And the Course will call it the idea of individuality or the belief in separation. And we must remember that these messages, like the Course and TI and all the rest, are aimed at letting go of the one key and root attachment to suffering. And that is to the imagined sufferer. That's what we want to let go. When we are in resistance, that's what we don't want to let go. When we are in willingness, that's what we want to let go. Another term for this is the I thought. Another term for this is the personality. Okay. And at that time, so we understand that we actually had a message that was called letting go of fear is letting go of personality. And letting go of personality is letting go of fear. Okay. Now, the trick, there's a great trick in this that the ego loves, is to say that which I need to let go of is something bad. Okay? And that's what this first paragraph smells like. Be very careful not to judge what I'm asking you to let go of. Beth is asking, can I take the happy dreamer with me? who would this me asking this question? your question is another subject. We'll talk about choice, I believe, like in a few paragraphs, and maybe we'll have an answer for your question. I ask you to be willing for patient. Okay. So, some of you are getting the idea that it is wrong to see yourself as the personality. Okay. First of all, it's not wrong to see ourselves as the personality. In that you are guilty if you see yourself in this way. It's just an error that it isn't true. This is very important to make the difference between wrong and bad. Wrong as in an error, and wrong as in sin, because that's the number one door that the ego uses. The ego is the belief in sin, the belief that I did something wrong. And if you remember the message from Spirit, this series, he said that at the root of your thinking mind, each thought comes with that same vibration, the possibility of wrongness. Okay, wrong in the sense bad. I did some, and that's the thinking mind. The root of thinking mind is I'm bad. So, the ego will try to let go of itself. How? By judging itself as bad. Holy Spirit told me personality is what makes me suffer, so I need to let go of the personality. Now, ego says personality is bad. Let me zoom in the personality and kick it out because it's bad. Okay, as soon as I do that, I just chose resistance. I just chose to believe in guilt. That's just a quick reminder that it always what matters is always the way I perceive things. With what teacher am I perceiving these teachings? With the ego, meaning with judgment and resistance and guilt, belief in guilt, or with my willingness, with my true desire? Okay, so it is not bad to see myself as a personality. It's just an error that it's not true. See the difference in vibration between those two sentences? I see myself as the personality. There's something wrong. I'm bad. No, it's not bad. By the way, it's just the way it is here in the world. We are here to let go of the world. So we cannot be asked not to believe in the world in the beginning. Because if we all believe we are men and women in the world, it must mean that we believe we are the personality. And we're not guilty for this. That's what is. That's the state of perception. And Holy Spirit takes us from there. And He takes us from there with this message, through a practice of enjoyment. Try seeing the personality as a game you play. Try looking at your personality quirks and habits, mannerisms and desires, fears and wants, in this way. What game is the personality trying to play now? Look at it from this perspective and you'll find that you can enjoy the playing of the game. And yet, you will not be fully identified with the personality. Just as you can enjoy a game of Monopoly without seeing yourself as the game piece that moves around the board. We're all familiar with the teachings of the observer, to step back, disidentify from the drama, step back and observe the dream. Okay, that's not like an end goal, but it's a wonderful step, the observer. It's still a mental step, but it's a wonderful step, very helpful. From the observer, there's a letting go. The letting go is easier from the observer. And that's actually a wonderful way to see our life as the observer of our body. You know. And the body is not just the physical body, it's the mental body as well, meaning the personality. And it's a wonderful way to see that on many levels. First of all, it's a great teaching of acceptance when we do this. When I say teaching, the realization more than teaching. Because if I can look at my personality, if I can look at my reactions, it means that I am not my reactions. Right? If I can look at my at the thoughts I'm thinking, it means that I'm not my thoughts. If I can look at my habits, it means that I'm not my habits. Try looking at your personality quirks and habits, mannerisms and desires, fears and wants in this way. What game is the personality trying to play? What the Holy Spirit is injecting in this hour of the path is enjoyment and appreciation. Meaning, try to cut your choice for resistance, because we will still choose resistance through the belief that we are the personality. But he starts injecting love, happiness, some sense of light, right, in that in the path of letting go. But while doing this, meaning helping us not to take too seriously all that's happening, you remember that taking seriously is the same as taking personally. It's the same thing. Personality is seriousness. Without personality, without identification to personality, there's no seriousness. Things just come and go. They're not attached to an idea, the idea of me. Now, but the wonderful things, yes, the laughter now, of course, saves lifespan of seriousness later. Now, the wonderful thing is that when he injects that, he also injects space between what I am, in that case, the observer, and the quirks and habits, the mannerisms and desires, the fears and wants. You see, he doesn't forget desires and wants and fears. Those desires and wants are the closest thing to be identified with. Wanting is really, really close. When we don't look at it, it's really, I am desire, I am the wanting, I am these thoughts, but I'm not. If I can look at them, then I am not them. And all these ideas are really holding on the idea of I together, the idea of the personality. So we are really letting go of the habits, we're letting go of the thoughts, we're letting go of the emotions, we're letting go of all this. Why? Because we are letting go of the personality. Because they are one and the same idea. But in this way, what game is the personality trying to play? And we can do that, right? And say, oh, the personality is trying to get attention. Oh, okay. Now, the personality is very fearful now. The personality wants to be appreciated. Okay. When we speak in this way, at the third person, there's a great sense of space that happens. Ramana would say, who's the I that fears? Who's the I that that desires to be loved right now? You see, it's the same thing. It's just detect. This is not who you are. This is mind. You can call the personality, you can call it the thinking mind. It's the same thing. You know, who wants control? The thinking mind. It's a mechanism. Another thing that's very helpful, because we're here to be practical, that's very helpful, is to see everything that happens in our lives, but especially the so-called inner things, right? Like the thoughts and the emotions and the reaction, as computer programs. That's what they are. They are lifeless computer program. I say lifeless because they're not conscious. I say lifeless because they're not present. They come and go. Whatever comes and goes is not life, is not real. And a computer program is nothing without the computer. And the computer is nothing without electricity. Always see, make the distinction between real and unreal. And that exercise helps us to see the personality and to ask yourself, what game is the personality trying to play? It's a wonderful step, a laughable step of detachment. But what is detachment? It's not detachment because it's bad. It's detachment because it's not real. What's the test for realness? Is it conscious? Is it present? Is it alive? Now, is a mannerism conscious? Does a habit know that I'm here? Like I know the habit is here? Does a wanting know it's a wanting? You see, these are questions that are very helpful because they automatically create that space. This is why, it's very subtle, but that's why the observer is not the end game. The end game, so-called, is that all there is realness. But that can be seen somehow through first detaching from the from what's really real, right? And what's real here is who we are, meaning that which is present and alive and conscious, and everything that we're conscious of, like the mannerisms, the personality, the fears, the desires, are not real, because they are an object. Anything that is an object is not real. Okay, so we are learning here to detach from the personality, okay, by looking at it and asking what game it is trying to play. And he says, when you look at it from this perspective, you'll find that you can enjoy the playing of the game. And yet, you will not be fully identified with the personality, just as you can enjoy a game of Monopoly without seeing yourself as the game piece that moves around the board. This is very good, very, very, very good teaching. Okay, now it gets more into the mechanism of that. Judgment is the opposite of enjoyment. Even if judgment seems to bring enjoyment, because you are judging something as good and worthy of enjoyment, all judgment includes the seeds of unhappiness or lack of enjoyment, because judgment is the building block of duality. Judgment is the mechanism of choose between. And we have been willing for awareness for the past month or something before this message came. I mean, for the past month now, which was like, I don't know, maybe a month, something like this at the time when it happened. And when we will for awareness, remembering that for those who were not here, to will for is just another way of saying to give willingness, or it's just another way of, first of all, remembering that we're not victim, we are creating everything. And how do we create everything? Through the direction of our desire. What are we desiring in the moment? That's the creative force of the Son of God. By the way, if you want to get a little technical, how do I direct desire? Through faith. Or gratitude. Okay. I am always in an attitude of gratitude. My faith is always on. The thing is that whenever I talk about fear or lack or sorrow, I'm generally putting my faith on fear, lack, and sorrow. Meaning, I am desiring the experience of loneliness, the experience of separation. And through my faith, the desire brings me back whatever I've asked for. And I can always see in the moment, where am I directing my attention, my interest? Because my attention is driven by desire underneath, right? They're one and the same, or purpose, like the Course says. Okay, so that's very important to start getting some awareness of the purpose we choose. There are only two purposes. Or the desires we choose. Two desires. Know thyself or not know thyself. Remember who I am fully, or continue to forget and be that independent personality in that outside world. Only two desires. Son of God cannot not create. So I'm always choosing. I'm always choosing between one desire or the other. But that's my real and only choice. Okay? It's a vertical choice. I'm not choosing anything in the world. Because the world is already written. It's past. Everything that comes on the wings of my previous choice. So everything that comes is already past, already decided. There is no choice in the world. There's choice in my way of looking at the world. Like you all know, of course, this is the Course in Miracles. My only choice is the choice in teachers. It's a choice between the ego and the Holy Spirit. But there is no choose between in the world.
whenever I believe that I must make a choice in the world, I've already made the choice to believe in the world. That's how it happens. So whenever I'm caught up in the anxiety of making the good choice or the wrong choice, what I don't know is that I've already made my choice, and that choice is the choice in desire, and that choice is in desire is the choice to stay separated, independent. And it's a package, right? As soon as I'm independent and I believe in the world, I will have a lot of things to choose between, because these are the rules of the world. You want to be independent, so you have choice. But it's the belief in choice, because it's the belief in the world. So it's a very important reminder now, is that it's not real. Everything we're talking about here is not real. Yes, Steve is saying chapter 31, choose again. Yeah, the choosing again is not choosing again between between the apple and the banana. It's choosing again between truth and illusion. That's the only choice we have. as long as we believe, right, as we believe in the world. That's the only choice we have. Because we understand that at some point, when we realize that our own self is our true nature, then there's no choice in heaven. And there never has been any choice. It's just a script. But here, right, for this teaching, for the very practical and very great teaching, let's see that every time that I believe that I have a choice to make, right? And to take again the words from Holy Spirit, I have already chosen for seriousness. And my enjoyment and happiness have nothing to do with the choice, the seeming choice I seemingly have to take in the seeming world. But that's a teaching on enjoyment, right? So he says, judgment is the opposite of enjoyment. Even if judgment seems to bring enjoyment, because you are judging something as good and worthy of enjoyment, all judgment includes the seeds of unhappiness or lack of enjoyment. Why? Because judgment is the building block of duality. And there is no happiness in duality. Because happiness is true nature. Happiness is not pleasure. Happiness is what we are. Right? That's our nature. So there is no enjoyment. There is no happiness. There is no realization of truth in the choice of illusion. Judgment is the mechanism of choose between. Whenever you believe in choose between, you believe that judgment is your God. Because without judgment, there cannot be choose between. You see? Now, judgment is not just judgment good and bad. To quote NTI, Luke, judgment cuts the Son of God in pieces. A belief is a judgment. A definition is a judgment. It's anything that says totality is not total. Because now some parts exist independently. Look, there's the chair. So whenever I give a definition, I use words or language, you know. If I look clearly, carefully, I start to put meaning to what doesn't have any meaning. What doesn't have any meaning? The world doesn't have any meaning because there's no world. But as soon as I believe that I have to make an option, to make a choice in the world, meaning two options, what's happening underneath? Meaning is boiling. And that's the famous war that the Course in Miracles describes, the war that the war of the ego, when the ego is at war against God. What is the war thing? What is it war about? It's a war of meaning. Holy Spirit knows that this is meaningless. Ego, personality, the you that you think you are, don't want to let go of meaning. Because you are, here I'm talking about the you that is personality, right? The you that is different and separate. This you is attachment to meaning. Okay? See all judgment as trying to hold on to meaning, because it's just unbearable for the ego to be in a meaningless world. Because if the world is meaningless, the bodies are meaningless. If the bodies are meaningless, the personalities are meaningless. Meaningless meaning no meaning. Meaning there's no ego anymore. And that's reality. So how can unreality still have a seeming glueness to it, or seeming solidity, through judgment? So every time that we are in comparing, preferring, weighing options, judging, right, defining, because it's good for us today to just take the term judgment and understanding at large, right? Okay, it is really sticking meaning where there's no meaning. That's judgment. But the great game, the great trap, is judging as a mechanism of choosing between two options. You see? When you're caught in this judgment, meaning in choosing between, you're totally caught, we are totally caught in the victim thing, we are totally caught in the past. We have totally forgotten present. If we believe that choosing between is meaningful, and there's really a choice to be made, an important one, then it's a tough game, because the choice is not here. The choice has already been made, okay? And I've already chosen to be unhappy whenever I believe that I have a choice to make. Okay, judgment is the mechanism of choose between, and it's the opposite of enjoyment. To enjoy, says the Holy Spirit, is to accept without judgment. And in this acceptance, there is admiration or appreciation for what lies behind. You see, it's always behind. It's never the appearance. Never the appearance. Never where you think the problem or the enjoyment is. It's never here. Because there's no here. I mean, or there, you know. When you enjoy the world, it's because you know what the world represents. It represents the creative power of the Son of God. When you truly love something, it's because you love it for what it is, not for what it seems to be. It's a very important little paragraph. Okay? So first of all, to enjoy is to accept without judgment. Joy is the acceptance. Joy cannot be in choosing, because choosing is options, and options is two. In two-ness, there's no joy. And remembering what my prayer was about, I give thanks, gratitude and awe to my willingness, to my simple and immediate willingness, right, to let go of believing that I can find any sense of happiness in the world, which is actually the manifestation of the idea of options, two-ness, right? Multitude. There is no joy in parts. There's only sin. When I say sin, there's only guilt, which is, there's only the fear of doing something wrong. And the fear of doing something wrong is the personality. I'm not saying the personality is fearful of doing something wrong. I'm saying the fear of doing something wrong, of making a wrong choice, and the belief in that possibility is the I in thought, is the personality, is the idea of separation. Now, when this is seen, you ask yourself, is an idea alive? You know, does a thought know it is a thought? This is a tremendously helpful question. Why? Because it brings back your awareness of what's real on the spot. You see, anything that is perceived is dead. Meaning, it's not constant. It's not alive. It's not being. It's not being. So it's non-being. Just like choice, just like judgment, just like personality, just like the world. When the world is seen through the lens of resistance, meaning seen as different appearances and options. To enjoy is to accept without judgment. And in this acceptance, there's admiration or appreciation for what lies behind. This is fantastic. Because see that everything that the Holy Spirit guides us to, like all the practice of acceptance, of trust, of just look, you know, rest, accept, and trust, or forgiveness, you know, or wait, don't do anything, breathe, you know, all these things, you can see that they are all about an unfocused state of awareness. Do you agree? When I'm asked to accept, what's more interesting for the Holy Spirit, for the practice, is not to put our attention on whatever I accept or don't accept. It's to put the attention on the acceptance itself. So I go from focused on a part to defocusing on an object and bringing back a state of no focus. Be wide again. Isn't that a song? I'm wide again. That's very good. So, whenever the experience of fear is happening, I'm asked to accept it without judgment. Accepting it is being aware of it, but being more interested in the awareness of it than it. You see what I mean? Again, I'm creating constantly. How am I creating? Through the direction of my faith or my gratitude, right? And whenever we are led to the experience of forgiveness, we are led to directing our faith on awareness itself, meaning, and one of the ambassadors of awareness is acceptance. You see, we go from meaning to meaninglessness, or actually from meaninglessness to meaning. But meaning is not in objects. Meaning is in the seer, is not in the seen. So anything that works for you to bring a space between everything that you're aware of and the awareness that you are will work. Forgiveness is the just like a fantastic gift that does this. It takes your attention from the object to your own self, from the object to the observer, and from the observer to the accepting observer, and from the accepting observer to the empty space of awareness, to pure beingness. To enjoy is to accept without judgment. Okay, again, see that joy is acceptance, right? Joy is awareness. Joy is reality. Okay? In this acceptance, there's admiration. Well, there's no admiration. The admiration doesn't come from the world. The admiration comes from acceptance. Now, something very important. In the words of Ramana Maharshi, actually the words of Inner Ramana, outside will see outside. Inside, hey Armel, my love. And inside will see inside. What does it mean? It means that judgment will see judgment, but it also means that acceptance will see acceptance. And joy is within acceptance. You're all familiar with the course, very, very famous distinction between form and content. That's exactly this teaching. We are talking about whenever we are led to acceptance, we are led to content. And content is joy, while appearance and form is unhappiness. There's where the choice lies. There is no choice between two forms. There is choice between where am I going to put my attention? On the appearance or on the fabric? On the wave or on the water? Joy comes from putting my attention on the water. On the essence, on the content, or on the totality. These are the two ways, right? There are two ways that works. Either you go for the fabric of things, or you go for the totality of things. See that in both cases, appearances and meaning of appearances get out the window. When you go for the fabric, when you go for the essence, all appearances drop. When you go for totality, all appearances drop as well. Why do you want to make the appearance drop? Because you want to be joyful. And you understand that judgment, choose between, is how you keep your attention on form. You keep your attention on differences. You keep your attention on options. And now, whispering in your ear, when you do that, well, you're actually keeping your attention on the chooser. You're keeping your attention on the judger. And I'm never going to feel happy or joyful if I declare that I'm the opposite of what I am. It all boils down to this, as we saw at the very beginning. I'm letting go of the quirks and the mannerism because I'm letting go of the personality. And the personality is the I thought. Is a declaration that I am what I am not. And there is no joy in that declaration. There's only joy in I am that I am and nothing else. Anything else is the end of joy. Joy is space. Joy is true meaning. What's the meaning of this chair? Joy. Oh, if it means something to sit on, then you just forgot joy. It just means joy, because joy is the only meaning. It's the only real and true meaning. But one can only realize this if he's bent on true desire. To see what the Holy Spirit sees. To see from the lens of joy. From the lens of who he really is. And again, inside will see inside. Content will see content. As joy, all I will notice and experience is joy. But as judgment, all I will experience is sorrow. I'll read again that paragraph. To enjoy is to accept without judgment, and in this acceptance there is admiration or appreciation for what lies behind. When you enjoy the world, it's because you know what the world represents. It represents the creative power of the Son of God. That's desire. We just talked about the process of creation through faith, right? When you truly love something, it's because you love it for what it is, not for what it seems to be. So you can love it for your creation, but that goes to the same thing. You can love it for joy, because your creation is joy. Appreciation doesn't come from thinking, because thinking is the mechanism of choosing between. Okay, now, thinking and judgment here are exactly the same thing. Look, thinking weighs options, makes judgment, and chooses. This is all that thinking is. Choosing is not appreciation, because choosing is choosing between. Choosing is taking this one and discarding that, which is separating the whole in order to choose between, and that is not appreciation. What a fantastic zooming in on that definition of what joy or appreciation is. Appreciation is not thinking. Appreciation is not choosing. Appreciation is not judging. So all our teaching is just, you know, the whole books that we love, all of these books, the yellow one, the blue one, and the others, they are all a teaching of stop. That's all it's about. Just enough. Stop. See that you're suffering. See that you're in charge. And then stop. When the Course says on chapter 31, as you say, Steve, choose again, it's really stop choosing. It's stop. Just stop. Just enough. Whenever you do something as the doer, yeah, there is no joy there. There cannot be any joy. Okay? And everything that we do, we think of, right? So the root is thinking. Again, appreciation doesn't come from thinking, because thinking is the mechanism of choose between. Thinking weighs options, makes judgments, and chooses. This is all that thinking is. We can easily see that, right? And we can observe it as a game that the personality plays, or a game that thinking does. I believe that seeing it as a lifeless computer program is very helpful, because a lifeless computer program is not aware, is not alive, doesn't know anything. I know that the computer is here and that the programs are running. Do the program know that I know? The program don't even know that there are programs. They don't know anything. I'm the only one with the capacity of knowing. And here, the knowing is not an intellectual knowing. It's knowing that this is happening, right? Which is really an unfocused knowledge. An unfocused awareness. Just another way of bringing your faith in the direction of true meaning, which is oneness. I don't like this term too much, because when we say oneness, the thinking minds automatically makes a difference between oneness and two-ness, right? And differences. But the oneness we're talking about is not in the realm of duality. So it's just a way of cutting, right? Of letting go. Steve is asking me a great question. Who is ACIM asking to choose again? Okay. That is actually your inquiry to find out. And that's my best answer. For the time being, it's the most helpful place where you can sit. The one who chooses between resistance and willingness. Continue to make these choices. Continue to choose the Holy Spirit instead of the ego. So you will really have that awareness of that seat on which you sit. And then ask who you are. What are you? And at that point, you'll be able to give me the answer to this question. Appreciation is loving what is as it is, as a whole and wondrous thing. In appreciation, choices will seem to be made, but they come from a natural flow and following, not from judging and discarding. Within appreciation, there is love for the whole. This is the easy life of following guidance. This is your will, not mine. Meaning choices are being made, thoughts are being thought, right? Emotions are being felt. I'm still seemingly advancing on the roads of the world, but I'm not doing it. That's joy. That's the realization that I'm not a personality. I'm not a computer program. Choices are made while I'm going back and forth in the world. But am I the one making the choices? No. When I listen to willingness, when I'm bent on the source of willingness, meaning true desire, then I know that I don't make any choice, right? You know you don't make choices during the day. Choices present themselves automatically. They come to you from the amount of faith, that realization come to you, from the amount and the time of faith that you put on true desire or on willingness. This is why willingness is hugeness in the world. It's amazing. In the words of Jesus in NTI Galatians, it's the water of the bush of life. That's willingness. Whenever you choose willingness, you choose to water the bush of life, which actually doesn't really need to be watered. But in our awareness, in our consciousness, in our remembrance, we need to water this bush, because what we do all the time with our faith is water the bush of death, the bush of judgment, the bush of choosing between. In appreciation, choices will seem to be made, but they come from a natural flow. And following, okay? Following is, I don't know. That's the key, the willingness. I don't know. I'm willing, but I don't know how to do it. Good, because you're going to be seeing very soon that you're not the doer. So don't try to do it. Don't try to understand it. Who would be the one? Who would be the understander? Let that go. But you don't know how to let it go, so be willing to let it go. And be willing not to know. And he finishes by saying, step back and appreciate today. Love and joy. Notice the game and allow it to be played while feeling the hole that plays. You see, feeling the hole that plays, meaning you realize that there's an automatic doing that is happening through your body personality. You are not the doer. That's the other goal of this message. This will require resting your thinking, but when you watch with, it's the end. When you watch with the desire for appreciation, thinking rests naturally through your desire for what you want. And that's a last declaration of your power. And your power lies in desire. And your remembrance of your objective, right? Of your purpose. So anyway, rest your thinking, rest the choosing, and relax. I'm very happy to listen to Armel now and to dove a little. Bye, and I'll see you on Tuesday.